Hello, my name is Kevin Day with the National Community Pharmacists Association. I'm here today with Morgan Miller of Alps Specialty Pharmacy in Springfield, Missouri, to talk about her experience in growing a specialty pharmacy from the ground up. Morgan, thanks so much for being with us today. Really excited to have you on the line and sharing some of your experiences with our members. So if you can, just tell me a little bit about how you guys have grown from Alps Community Pharmacy and Alps Retail Pharmacy into Alps Specialty Pharmacy, and just a little bit of your story.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. I'm happy to share my story. We are a retail pharmacy independently owned in Springfield, Missouri. Our first location's been open for over 12 years, and we just opened our second retail location at the beginning of March, so just about 3 months ago. Specialty pharmacy has always been on the owner's mind, probably for the last 2 to 3 years. She just never had enough manpower to go out and make it happen. So we really started doing specialty pharmacy, I would say, October of last year. And we hired a marketing person who kind of got the pharmacist out of the box and made it capable for us to actually go out and target physicians in the area and let them know, hey, we're here, this is what we're doing, let us help you. And so since September, October, I had a marketing guy going out to different physicians' offices. I would join them sometimes, and we just kind of trickled, got our name out there. But really, we didn't start hitting the specialty marketing hard until, we like to say, January 1st. That's when we kind of restructured as a pharmacy and said, hey, this, we're going to do this, we're going to move forward, and we're going to do what needs to happen for that. So since January 1st, we have really hit it hard, and we've gained some traction in the area and gained some relationships with providers and just kind of taken off from there. Right now, I'm still on the retail side a little bit, but we've actually structured it where specialty has its own team of me as a pharmacist, a patient care coordinator, and a marketing person.
Sure. So I think the marketing aspect of this is incredibly important and something that a lot of independents probably aren't really familiar with. So tell me a little bit about your marketing person, Mike, who I've met, obviously. And where did he come from? What's his background? You know, was he in pharmacy? Was he really with you guys? Or how did he get added to your team?
Actually, he had a background in sales, but nothing related to pharmacy. So pharmacy was an uncharted territory for him, but he was enthusiastic about growing this. It was a challenge for him, and he took the time to learn a little bit about pharmacy and what it was, but mostly what we were going to offer to these providers, what was already out there, what other marketing people were going around with specialty pharmacy, and he really opened the door to get, like I said, the pharmacist out of the box. Any retail pharmacist knows you have this little square space, and you can't leave. He would set the appointments for us, get our foot in the door. At the beginning, a pharmacist always went with him. Now he's out a little bit on his own, now that he feels more comfortable with what we do and what we can and can't offer. He was vital. It probably would not have happened if he hadn't come on board, because pharmacists are busy people. Pharmacy owners are busy people, just making the day-to-day operations run. So it just took somebody that it was their complete role to make this happen, to actually get out there and get business.
Yeah, sure. It sounds like it. And Mike's great. So if any of you guys that are listening to this ever get to meet Morgan and Mike, you'll understand, I think, why their team has been successful. So, and Morgan, you guys have told me some about a couple different relationships that you've had with outside, especially pharmacy partners who have helped you through this. Can you talk just really briefly about maybe how those relationships have helped you be able to succeed so quickly? I mean, really, it's only been just over 6 months, I guess, for you guys to get where you are, which is amazing. Awesome growth.
Yes. So in the beginning, one of the safety, I would call it kind of my safety net that made me comfortable doing specialty, I hadn't even heard of a specialty pharmacy before August of last year. I had really no concept of what that was. So one of the safety net features that we had is we partnered with a larger company, a specialty pharmacy, that kind of offered it through one of the wholesaler agreements. I think there's several out there that are doing that now. So we started off with them. Our relationship lasted about 6 to 8 weeks, and then I just kind of decided it wasn't going to fit with how we wanted to operate things. I just didn't have enough hands-on, which I think a lot of people can relate to. I was kind of that middleman, didn't know exactly where things were. There was communication issues between me and the doctor because I'd have to make a call out to a third party to figure out what was going on. So with the way we were working with wanting to really be a serious, full-fledged specialty pharmacy, it didn't work with the model that I wanted to do. I am thankful for it because it did give me like that security blanket to step in and say, okay, somebody's got my back on the back end. So I am thankful for that. And also it's really kind of given me a leg up of other specialty pharmacies that are coming around because I know what their back end looks like and how that can be confusing. So it really strengthens my market to other prescribers when I go out there and say, hey, we do it all. I have my hands on this every day. Because really when you go out there, one of the main things that physicians and providers are looking for is strong communication. And I think that's one of the most valuable things you can offer them.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk some about how you guys really got started. Was there specific disease states that you focused on first or maybe are still focusing on, you know, that helped you get, like you're saying, get your foot in the door and start as a growth platform?
Yes. We had talked to a few different specialty pharmacies that weren't in our direct market and kind of asked them, what do you suggest doing? And everyone said, focus on one or two or three disease states that you can really get your foot in the door. So around here, and probably the whole nation actually, hepatitis C is one of the biggest things right now. You know, the treatments are new. It affects a huge percentage of the population. We have several doctors treating it in our area, so we said, hey, this is our way in. We're going to do this. So we chose that one, and we actually, that was one of our first big accounts we won, was a local hepatitis C provider. And really, that gave me a lot of cushion to justify spending more time developing specialty pharmacy because the revenue and the profits started coming in, justifying getting me out of the retail setting and focusing more on growing the specialty setting. Another one we did was something that we already did in our pharmacy. We just never asked for more business, was the biologics for psoriasis and rheumatoid arthritis. So we started visiting dermatology clinics in the area, rheumatology clinics, and gaining their trust. Another one that was just very specific to our population was substance abuse with Vivitrol. It is something that kind of went hand in hand with the patient population we were treating anyway. We had patients and a provider that was already prescribing that, so we've expanded off that and actually gained some good manufacturer relationships with that. And it's a passion and a project of ours to help patients in this area have access to that, especially with all the funding coming through for opiate addictions. It's a very big area right now, and we're fortunate to be a part of it. Another one that kind of just came to us, just based off relationships with local providers and, I guess, drug reps, was the PCSK9 inhibitors. This isn't something that we've gone out and marketed, but people have found out we're doing it, and we are doing them well as far as assisting the doctors with the prior authorizations and then training the patients. So our business for that is actually pretty big. We've gained maybe 3 or 4 providers in the area that prescribe those often. So that's been a good business for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I know you guys are obviously growing and you know, have growth goals, but let's talk more just about where you are right now. Again, I think for somebody who's not familiar with the specialty space, and I'm sure many of the members who might be listening to this maybe would describe themselves that way, and just like you said, you were not even a year ago of really just unfamiliar with what specialty pharmacy was and how much it would take. So can you ballpark for me, how many providers do you guys have, you know, good relationships with that are getting you enough business that you guys are busy and you are able to focus, you know, mostly full-time on the specialty space? You know, again, I don't need exact numbers, but help me ballpark kind of where we are on numbers of providers that you guys have the relationships with.
Mike would probably give you a pinpoint number. I think we do service about 20 providers, 20 to 25 providers, maybe more now. What's really been great for me is a lot of my providers have multiple clinics in the area because Springfield's a fairly large city. It's the third largest city in Missouri, but we have a lot of rural areas. So these providers go out and have different clinics. So I service, one of my providers has a clinic here, and then 2 others within an hour away, I would say. And the same goes for several others. So really, I work closely with, I would say, maybe 10 to 15 providers, extremely close with at least 10.
Okay.
And that's giving me enough business to justify this position and this division of our pharmacy.
And that's what I think is just kind of phenomenal of, you know, I mean, 10 physicians, that's 2 a day is all that you really need to be in contact with. And all of a sudden you have a weekly relationship with a physician. I mean, that's, and I'm sure you guys are in contact with them even more than that. But I think just of the realization that this isn't necessarily a massive undertaking to be involved is really great. So some of the challenges I know about specialty, and I think everybody kind of talks and knows about specialty, one that gets hyped a lot, whether or not it is a really big challenge, and that's kind of why I want to ask you, is with the limited distribution drugs. Obviously, many of the things that you talked through are open distribution. They're available for most or all retail pharmacies to buy. But is there limited distribution drugs that you guys are running into issues that you're trying to get access to? And if so, do you have any tips maybe for anybody else who's in that situation on how you might be able to advocate for your pharmacy with the manufacturer to get access to a limited distribution drug?
Yes. So right now, the disease states that we're targeting, thankfully, a lot of them aren't limited distribution. However, one in particular is, and one of the providers I work very closely with prescribes it a lot. So what we have done is we are actually in the process of learning what it takes to get into their network. So we've contacted the manufacturer, gone up and around the totem pole of who's our point of contact there to actually talk to. And what got the ball rolling on that one is actually one of our providers told their drug rep, said, hey, I use ALP Specialty Pharmacy exclusively. How can they dispense this drug? And what happened was the drug rep wants to please the doctor, so I'll make it happen. I'll get where it needs to go, you know, making statements they probably can't follow through with. But what happened was they contacted us and said, hey, I'm going to get you in touch with this person, and hopefully we can get the ball rolling where and get you where you need to be and set up to be in our network. And so then they contacted us, came and saw us, gave us a list of their requirements, and we just worked towards those. And so that's happened a couple different times. And it's not an easy process. I think it takes time, especially with us being so new. We don't have a lot of those requirements they're looking for. So we are just finding out as we go what we need and then making it happen.
And what are some of those things that, you know, that you aren't prepared for, I guess? Is that data requirements reporting? Is that the biggest issue, or is it something else that I'm not thinking of?
So what I keep running into is a few different things. One is accreditation. A lot of the times they're going to require what I guess in the industry is the gold standard, which is URAC. It's very expensive and very lengthy process, but we've tried to justify not doing it, but the more and more we go, we're going to have to do it. If we want to move forward, we're going to have to do that. We are accredited with a smaller agency that we fight for equivalent, I guess, viewing them as equivalent. And another thing is, let's see, we did the accreditation. And the data, for me, isn't that big of a deal. I have a very good software program that I can run about just any report that I want to. So that's not as big a deal as it may be to some others that don't have an advanced software program. But that is something you want. They want data and they want accreditation. Some may or may not want multi-state licensing. That's more on an insurance provider level that I've seen, but it comes into play with the manufacturers too, because these are very small networks of pharmacies that are allowed to fill them. So the bigger you can spread your wings, I think the more chance that you have of getting involved.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the manufacturers are working, I mean, they're restricting networks because they think they can still cover most or all of the patients who are eligible for their medication out of a restricted network. So if you're only adding, you know, a handful of lives for them, you're right, it may not be worth it. Whereas if you can argue that you are adding a lot more, I think that makes sense of getting yourself involved into a network. You know, you have to be able to carry some of the weight that they care about, right, which is obviously sales.
Right. Another thing we did with that is we did a marketing campaign to the providers we work closely with for that medication, and we asked them to write a letter of support for us. So even though I may not use them until a year from now, whenever I have a few of those more check marks off my list to get into the network, I have them, and I have the support from the provider, and I think that's going to go very far.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea of getting, you know, different people on the team involved. So that's awesome. So what are your guys' next steps? Obviously, it's been, I'm sure, crazy, you know, not even 9 months or right about 9 months. But, you know, what's next on your guys' plate?
What's on our radar right now is, you know, this probably looks a little bit different for everybody, depending where you start and your model. What I'm working on right now is we're still attached to our retail pharmacy's license. What I'm finding, what works for our workflow and what works maybe to go on to the next step, is I'm going to work on getting our own license as a specialty pharmacy.
Okay.
And the reason I'm doing that is to be able to get different types of contracts with insurance companies. It makes my workflow go better, just the way mine works. It just is easier for me. So we're working on being independent from our retail, but still working together. That's a little bit confusing. But we're also going to go after more payer contracts. But to do that, we need to get multi-state licensing. So I will be working over the next few months to get just the surrounding states. So right now, we're actually the southwest corner of Missouri. So we have Kansas, Arkansas, and Oklahoma that really aren't that far away from us as far as mileage. And we do see some of those patients come through these providers because they're specialists. Sure. Then after some of those things fall in place, we are going to go after accreditation and payer contracts.
Awesome.
So probably accreditation is going to start within the next couple months.
Morgan, it sounds very fantastic and very exciting. I know you've been busy, and you know we make time to do things like this bright and early in the morning, so appreciate you getting up early to spend some time with me on the phone. And I think this is really great information for a lot of members of, you know, again, it's been less than a year since you guys have really been like, okay, it's time to get started, and you know, already with one accreditation down and ready to, you know, to get started or almost ready to get started on the next one. I think it's a fantastic story. So thanks so much again for sharing it, and we hope that anybody listening today has learned something and has enjoyed this presentation today.